This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. The Museum of Fine Arts opens its new Art of the Americas wing in November. It's a nearly $500 million project that more than doubles the number of American artworks on exhibit at the MFA. A little later in the program, we'll be talking with the museum's director, Malcolm Rogers, about what this new addition means for the MFA and for the city of Boston. He'll also be taking your questions at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. But first, it's one of the most popular newspaper websites in the country, with almost 200 million page views a month. But like papers nationwide, the Boston Globe has been struggling with how to get more revenue out of Boston.com. Well, today the Globe announced it's setting up a new subscription website, BostonGlobe.com, that will require users to pay for access to its reporting and other editorial content. Boston.com will continue to exist. But unlike now, it will offer only limited access to stories published in the Boston Globe. I should note that Radio Boston has a formal relationship with Boston.com and that the Globe's columnists and journalists are frequent contributors to this program. Joining us now to talk about this new direction for Boston.com is the publisher of the Boston Globe, Chris Mayer. Chris, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Sasha. Thanks for having me on.
So, Chris, if you could first break down the basics for us. Boston.com will remain one thing, and that will have a lot of the breaking news, the fun stuff, the celebrity photo galleries. But then the Today's Globe, which you can read on Boston.com right now, so if you don't have a subscription, you can go and read today's paper on Boston.com, that will go behind a paywall at BostonGlobe.com. Is that what's happening?
That's the essence of what's happening. Maybe to just take a little step back and look at the way people use the information on Boston.com, some are looking for the digital version of the Boston Globe, and for them, today's Globe is really the only alternative that we have in the marketplace in any meaningful way. Others are coming to us to Boston.com to skim the news, to participate in different communities of interest, and to engage in commercial transactions. And so what we recognized was that we had an opportunity to really better serve both audiences by focusing solutions that are specific for each of them. So while the complete curated Globe content will move out of today's Globe and behind a paywall, which will be BostonGlobe.com, we're also looking to enhance the environment significantly, deliver a lot more multimedia, make the experience much more engaging, and just a better environment for our storytelling, which digital allows us to do above and beyond what we can offer in print.
So, Chris Mayer, you say this will better serve your audiences, but I'm sure what your audiences would like most of all is to be able to get everything free if it could, which it can do now on Boston.com, which has hurt the Globe because you can cancel your subscription and still read the paper. So is this motivated mostly by trying to generate more revenue?
I think there's certainly a business component to this move. We, like other newspaper companies, as we move into the digital space, need to focus on capturing subscription revenue in that space. That said, the other motivation is that we have the opportunity that's somewhat unique to us with two brands in the marketplace, and we today's Globe as a representation of what we can offer in terms of curated content out of the newsroom is something that we know we can expand upon and continue to deliver, not just on the website, but actually in a variety of other digital forms as well, tablets, mobile, etc., which is all going to be part of the product suite offered under the Boston Globe brand.
Could having two brands in the marketplace end up diluting both brands?
There's always a concern when you have multiple brands, but the research is showing us that the use of the website really is targeted towards two different audiences right now. And I think what people will very quickly discover is that the experience on Boston.com is for much more of a latest breaking news information portal into Boston and all that's going on, more interactivity around communities of interest, the ability to purchase goods and services, all while maintaining the brand trust and promise that has always been part of the Boston.com environment, while the BostonGlobe.com offering will be much more about that that curated content, storytelling, and complete content that we offer right now in print and in just a handful of digital environments like the Kindle and the Globe Reader.
Listeners, we're talking with the publisher of the Boston Globe, Chris Mayer, about the Globe's announcement today that Boston.com is going to go, well, that BostonGlobe.com is going to go behind a paywall and that you'll no longer be able to read the, all of the general paper on Boston.com. We want to know if you're ready to start paying for access to Globe articles online and whether you would stop reading Boston.com if it just didn't have the Globe stories that you go to read in the paper every day. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Chris Mayer, do you know yet exactly what kind of content will be behind the paywall? Is it all of your reporting staff's reporting plus columnists? What will go behind it, or is that still to be determined?
We're looking at that right now. And over the next several months, we'll be communicating more on that. We're also looking to begin to better serve the Boston.com audience as we build out sections of the site that are going to be more representative of what the future of Boston.com is going to look like, which will give us an opportunity to get feedback from the readers and from our audience, as well as try and experiment with some things.
The Globe said in its announcement that it hadn't yet determined the cost of that digital-only subscription. But I wonder if you're leaning towards flat-fee, tiered or metered subscriptions where the more you read, the more it costs. What do you think you're leaning towards?
Right now, what we're leaning toward is a digital subscription. So there'll be a digital bundle offering that would allow access to our digital content for branded the Boston Globe. So that would include the website. It would include mobile or tablet-based solutions as well. And that digital solution or that digital package would be incorporated into the print subscription. So we want to continue to deliver on our commitment to allow our readers access to our content whenever, however, and wherever they wish. And we see the print subscription being able to include the digital as a natural extension for that for our subscribers, though the digital subscription will be available separately.
We have a caller from Sudbury who has a question about what happens if you're a subscriber to the print edition. So hi, Fred. Thanks for calling Radio Boston. And what's your question for Boston Globe publisher Chris Mayer?
Yes, thank you. If you're subscribing to the print edition, will we have open and full access to the digital edition? I would certainly hope so. One is a very nice thing, and one would be an alienating thing.
Fred, which one would be the alienating thing?
If they made us pay double, we didn't have 100% open access, then, you know, obviously then they'd start losing their print subscribers and maybe their digital subscribers. It seems like it would be just the right thing to do from a standpoint of business, let alone customer relations.
Thanks for that, Fred. Chris Mayer, what about that?
I had, when you asked the question, guessed that that was where Fred thought was the right solution as well. That's our intention. We are going to incorporate all of the digital solutions that we have and bundle that with the print subscription so that the print subscribers are going to have access to the BostonGlobe.com website as well as the other digital products that we launch.
Chris, how do you prevent someone on the block in the neighborhood or someone at the office from passing around the password because they're a subscriber and then all their neighbors or friends can read it using their password?
We're still looking at how to manage the security issues around that. I don't think anything is airtight. Search is another good example. If you wanted to read the entirety of the Wall Street Journal by just searching for individual articles and accessing them through Google, that's a possibility today too. So we can't and won't be able to shut down access for the people who really want to put a lot of energy into trying to beat the system. What we're really counting on is that the value of what we have to offer will entice people to want to subscribe, and subscription will likely have additional benefits as well.
We have a caller from Northborough also. This is Howard. Hi, Howard, and what is your question for Chris Mayer?
The New York Times charged for certain columns, and then after revenue did not meet expectations, they derived revenue, I understand, from advertising. How does this differ from the New York Times path?
The program you were referring to, I think, was called Time Select, and what they had is segmented certain content behind a paywall and then had other content still available on the website. We're not interested in developing a Boston Globe and a Boston Globe Lite. We're interested in having a BostonGlobe.com and other Boston Globe branded digital products that really allow us to do all that we do in print right now and beyond with a lot of the multimedia capabilities that we have and continue to develop in the newsroom. Boston.com is going to be an advertising supported site where traffic is important, and we're going to be looking for a highly exciting and engaging environment within Boston.com that will have Globe information. It'll have breaking news. It'll have weather and sports, and it's looking to be something that is really positioned towards a different audience at this point.
Chris Mayer, newspapers have been talking about for a long time, and they've really known for a long time, that because their traditional revenue model has essentially collapsed, you know, relying on advertisers who've now migrated to internet and readers who've now migrated to internet, they probably had to put a lot of their content behind a paywall. But many of them were afraid to do it till somebody or everybody else did it. There still aren't a lot of papers doing this. How do you feel about being one of the pioneers, which also introduces the chance that readers might say, all right, I'm just going to go online to a free newspaper?
I think the days of us relying on really what I would consider to be barriers to entry in our business to avoid competition or to kind of protect a revenue stream, our ability to print, our ability to distribute, our ability for home delivery, those still significant and very important, because I do want to underscore the fact that we are still we still have a significant base of print readership. We still have over 30% penetration in the marketplace. So we're not doing this to move away from print. We're doing this to offer the audience that is preferring digital a chance to go and consume us in that space. And to answer your question specifically, from a competitive perspective, we're very comfortable competing on our ability to create content, our ability to facilitate storytelling, to basically help convene discussion in and around important topics, and we think that we have a tremendous asset, and we think that's something that people will recognize and pay for in the digital space the same way they do in the print space. Provided that what we're offering them in the digital space is meeting their needs and expectations within that environment. And I think that's where we haven't quite delivered all that we can in terms of digital solutions yet. There's more that could facilitate the reading experience for people who want to consume Globe content digitally that would make the experience, I think, much more enjoyable.
I'm talking with Boston Globe publisher Chris Mayer about the Globe's announcement today that part of its online offerings will go behind a paywall. And Chris, a tweet came through this morning that I thought was really interesting, and that actually relates to BUR. It said, "New Boston Globe dual paywall strategy feels very public radio. You don't have to pay to read us, but you will because you value us. Can you just ask your readers to pony up a la public radio?" And that's particularly relevant today, Chris Mayer, because WBUR started its annual fall fundraiser today, where we're taking time out of our news on the air and saying, please send us money, which people do. So what about that? Is this very public radio, as the person who tweets says?
I guess I see the models as a little bit different. What we're doing is in my mind, an extension of the business model that we've had in place for a long, long time, which is to ask the consumers to pay for the reading experience and deliver a unique and enjoyable and immersive reading experience for that, and then the advertising and reaching that audience becomes an ancillary part of that. And we're extending that model into a series of digital offerings and onto the website because we think we're ready to. We think that there's more mainstream adoption of whether it's devices or willingness to consume in the digital space, and we think that the offerings that we can put out there are things that people are going to find valuable and will pay for the way they would buy any other product.
Chris Mayer, thanks for coming on Radio Boston, and we hope that after this experiment has launched and you see some results, we might be able to have you come back on and tell us how it's going.
I look forward to it.
Chris Mayer is the publisher of the Boston Globe. Stay with us. After a quick break, the MFA's Malcolm Rogers takes us on a tour of the new Art of the Americas wing. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.